Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I'm Clay. Let's let Chris Paul walk. Oh, let's see if we can tinker around the edges and move Andrew Wiggins for somebody. Oh, and that'll get us back into it. Like, you know, this is like the old Metropolitan scene where this blue-collar dude's in a room with a bunch of rich kids.
Okay.
And they said, what do you want to do with your life? And the guy goes, you know, I want to work with the less fortunate. And they said, you are the less fortunate. Like, you are the less fortunate. It's like the Golden State Warriors right now are not a playoff team. They just wasted a year of Steph Curry's career. Like, I'm so sick of this. Well, we're wasting. You wasted three of the last 5 years. You didn't make the playoffs, but you just want to bring everybody back because you're close. Like, you can't have it both ways. If you want Steph to ride off into the sunset, he may have to do it on a 40-win team. Like, the idea that there's easy answers out there and they're one quick fix away is just ludicrous. And for everybody out there saying, well, just let him ride off into the sunset, this year didn't seem very enjoyable for most of the fans. Every time we came in and they lost, they were underachieving. Every time they came in, we thought they could make a run. It's like, you don't get to have it both ways. You don't get to just get back to being a championship team without some difficult moves. Okay, let's bring Clay back.
So is every
and we'll be better next year. Okay.
Well, so is every year you don't win a championship wasted?
No, it's not wasted. But damn, they're the 18th best team in the league. How many teams have ever jumped from the 18th best team in the league to the best team in the league without, like, obtaining Shaquille O'Neal or Tim Duncan in the draft?
It's a great point. I don't know why people view, I don't know, any year that we get to watch Steph as being wasted. I mean, I don't know. Like, I guess when they were, like, when you have Durant and Klay in his prime and Draymond in his prime, then yes, like, you should expect to be competing for championships. And, I mean, you want to win all you can. But, I mean, okay, 888-957-9570. Do you think that this last year was a waste of Steph Curry? Do you think the last 2 years have been wasted on Stephen Curry? I don't know if I can say that they've been wasted, but maybe not maximized. And maybe that's where people kind of draw the line. Like, but at the same time, they paid the most exorbitant tax bill in the history of basketball. Like, so they're clearly trying. And maybe trying is just not good enough.
And this is the other thing. Did they waste Steph Curry? They did what he wanted, according to all the fans. They won a title. They re-signed Poole. They re-signed Wiggins. They won 44 games last year. We'll still re-sign Draymond Green. Okay, you won 46 games. Well, then go ahead and do it. Then re-sign Clay. Go ahead and re-sign Clay Thompson. And I don't know. You're going to magically be elevated into one of the best teams. I don't see it happening. You had unbelievable health this year. Are you going to have unbelievable health next year and the year after as these guys get older? Like, I'm just telling fans right now, you can kind of sit out there and say, well, we'll never do this, and you guys are idiots for talking about trading Curry. And by the way, nobody's talking about trading Steph Curry. It's just talking about at what point would you even consider it. And I'm just telling you all, Joe Lacob's already ahead of you guys on all this stuff. All this stuff. Because that's who Joe Lacob is. He's not okay with this. He's not. We can't talk about how competitive this guy is for 12 years since he's bought the team, and he's a riverboat gambler, and he'll push all his chips in, and then just think this is okay. I think he's going to try to do a lot of stuff. My question is, what happens when you can't?
Well, I'm just going through the Comcast Business text line right now, and from the 650, yes, last season was wasted, completely wasted, and they didn't play the youngsters near enough.
Well, let me ask.
I don't know how you can do both. Like, how?
Who wasted the year? Who wasted the year? Joe Lacob? I don't think so. Did Mike Dunleavy waste the year? No.
This fish is stinking.
Wiggins was a reason the year was wasted. Draymond was a reason the year was wasted. Clay's first half of the season was a reason that the year was wasted. The only thing that got this year jump started were the kids. So, I don't know if you weren't ready to move on from Draymond last year. Are you ready to move on from Clay this year? I don't know. 888-957-9570. I'm trying to be solution-based here, but, you know, yes. 650, the year was wasted, completely wasted.
And this is the Vets. The Vets wasted the year. That's also from the 650. I mean, look, if your team is going to be determined by your big boys, who are the big boys at the beginning of the year? I mean, this team looks totally different in game 83 in the play-in than it did from game one. I mean, in fact, I think, look, the best case scenario, I think, Stein, is that you look at this year as a transition, and I don't know if they can necessarily transition off of particular players this offseason. But you need to transition, I don't know, just your philosophy or your approach to what this team is, because I agree. I think this team started to come around when they found a fusion of young and old, because the young players were able to push the older guys. They were able to make up for some of their fall off. And that, to me, has to be more of a priority from the beginning of next season. And that means you might lose some games due to youth and due to inexperience, but that has to be a sacrifice that they're willing to make, because I think we've seen what happens when you lean solely into your older core players, which is they're going to be great some nights, they're going to give us glimpses of the past, but overall, you can't rely on them to carry you to a 55-win season, or even a 50-win season, it appears, over all 82. And I just... Look, I don't want to sit here next year and go through the conversations of, well, is Curry playing at the level that he used to? Is Clay back to where he needs to be? How's Draymond looking? Like, I know that they are the fabric of the Golden State Warriors, but to me, there has to be more empowerment of players that can improve. The big three, I love them to death, but I don't know how they get better. There are players on the Warriors right now that I think have the ability to get better. And maybe that's also a reason why someone like Andrew Wiggins is back next season, because the Warriors look at him and say, well, we can't move this contract for anything worth anything. And there's no way he could be possibly as bad as he was this season. I mean, maybe they're also... Like, I don't know how they view their own roster right now, because there was so much inconsistency from your core members that I just feel like it makes it difficult to decide whether you're going to be all in or all out, and eventually you're stuck in the middle, which is where the Warriors were as the 18th best team in the league.
The year, you're absolutely right. The year was not wasted. Trayce Jackson-Davis started as a rookie the second half of the season. They drafted a guy at 19, Brandon Pajemski, looks like he's a rotation player. Kuminga took a step up. All right. Moody, at least by the end of the year, has people thinking he should have played more and maybe been given more of a role. That's the year. That's the reason the year wasn't wasted, because you finally, for the first time in 12 years, you have some young guys who can play rotational basketball for a 46-win team. I mean, was Steph Curry good enough the second half of the season to be a playoff team? I mean, I know we come down Clay's road, everybody's road, but it's like, you know what? Maybe if Steph plays the second half of the season like he played the first half, we do make the playoffs. So, again, the idea that the Warriors have been wasting Steph, I mean, it also the other reason I can't stand that is it implies that their front office thinks everything's just fine right now. And I guarantee you they don't think that. They don't think everything's fine right now.
I mean, I generally don't believe in wasted seasons. They're like the Warriors, I think, failed this year. I mean, they didn't make the playoffs. I think that's an abject failure. But, all right, was the San Francisco 49ers season a failure this year? They made second Super Bowl in 5 years, NFC Championship games. Was it a failure? Perhaps. Was it a wasted season? I don't think so. We found out that Brock Purdy's got staying power. You might find out that Brandon Ayuk is, in fact, the franchise wide receiver you want to sign this summer. I mean, I just don't want to look at seasons as if they're wasted because a particular player has to achieve a certain level. And there's so much on the backs of all these guys. And actually, we're going to talk to someone who had to carry a franchise from day one. Ricky Williams is coming on at 12 o'clock as a former Heisman winner, great college football player. Might have left some stuff on the table in the NFL, but for definitely non-football reasons. The guy was incredible when he toted the rock. So, like, I'm looking forward to getting into that as well as some of this Niner stuff, Steiny, because I don't know how for people sure are looking at the Bay Area sports scene right now in regards to their teams, their place. I don't think that there is a team right now that is looking at their season or former season. I guess maybe the Giants. But even the Giants, I don't think, wasted the season because it allowed them to move off of Kapler and get a better guy in here that could do the job. It meant that the past failures of their offseason to acquire a big-name free agent, well, now it looks like they do have a couple of guys that are big-name free agents that want to come play here. Like, every season to me has a purpose so long as you use what, for example, the Warriors gave you to make an informed decision about your future. It's only a wasted season if in 2 years we look back and say, damn, well, they actually just, I mean, they basically just played and they didn't take anything away from it. They didn't learn from it.
Right. I mean, and I know this, I mean, this is easy to do, but you talk about the moves they make this offseason. You think it's not going to hinder them? Or not hinder them. You think it's not going to impact them down the line? I mean, why? Let me, like, and, you know, shame on me because Guru was talking about Wiseman the other day, and I was like, well, it doesn't really matter anymore. But why did the Warriors extend Wiggins? Why did they extend Wiggins after they won a title? He had another year left. Well, they did it because they liked what they had and they thought he was going to be part of the core. They also had a decision to make on Jordan Poole. They paid him. Now they have the same decision. And here's the other thing that I think's... So you're going to get off Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Then you're going to re-sign Clay at a solid number.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to try to tinker with Wiggins. Okay.
Probably.
Then you're going to pay Kuminga.
Yeah.
Okay. So then next year, you're going to be in the same spot of having to get below the second apron if you don't want to go in, if you don't want to start that process again.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I just think that right now that's what they're looking at. That's what their roster says. If those are the decisions that they make, they'll be under the tax
right
this year.
Yep.
And then the season after, they'll be back into the tax. And that's where you got to figure out, okay, do we want to continue to spend or do we not? Because I think Lacob said the priority is to be out of the tax for two of the next 4 years.
Yep.
So maybe it's a one-on, one-off type thing of we're going to be under this year, we're going to recalibrate, we're going to see if this team's got something worth investing in at the highest level that they did, for example, this year. But in a way, it's almost like, it feels like they might run it back just to see if this team can prove that they don't deserve to be completely broken or restructured.
Right. No, here's the other thing that's kind of getting to me, just a little bit, is if you're gonna go ahead and say, well, if Draymond doesn't get suspended, we win five more games. Okay. Well, what happens next year when Steph Curry plays 18 fewer games? Like, I get it. Draymond got suspended. But you really think you re-sign Klay for two or three more years and those guys are just coming back for the next year or two playing 75 games apiece? Like, who would do that? Like, who would re-sign? Like, if I re-sign Klay and I'm looking at Steph for 2 years, I'm looking at Draymond for 3 years, and I'm looking at Klay for two more years at least, you can't be a responsible general manager like Mike Dunleavy and not assume that they're going to miss a chunk of games. So if you know they're going to miss a chunk of games, how do we win 50 to 55 games so that we go in to the playoffs with a reasonable shot at it at 3 or 4?
I think that's why you have to empower your younger players.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily because you believe that they'll get you to a 50-win team, but I just don't think you have a choice. Again, all of this is because the Warriors don't have, right now, very many choices.
Yeah.
It's why people are talking about, again, the unthinkable. Scott Osler wrote today in the San Francisco Chronicle why the Warriors need to consider the unthinkable, which is trading Curry. John Hollinger brought it up as an option. Because the other option, it does appear, Steinen, it seems increasingly more clear to me, and I don't like it, but I also am not sure there's another avenue right now, is that the Warriors are going to look pretty much the same as last year, with a couple tweaks, and then maybe at the deadline, they try and move off of Wiggins. Because right now, they have such low stock for too many of their players for other teams to give you something worth back. In a way, I mean, I don't know, but if you make the wrong trade, if you move off a particular player and you don't get anything back, like that might dig yourself an even deeper hole. And then you're not even competitive. You don't even look like the same team. And you look closer to the 2020 team that was a 15-win squad than at least the one last year that won 46 games.
Right. Let's go to Matt. Matt's in San Rafael. What's going on, Matt? How you doing, man?
Doing well. Thanks, guys. First, I want to answer the question you asked while I was waiting about the state of the teams in the Bay Area. So you got to discount the A's because they're leaving.
Fair.
The Giants feel like they're just treading water. I know they're trying to do things. I think Farhan holds them back. I think the Warriors, I'll get to them in a sec. The Niners are the bell of the ball, right? They didn't win the big game, but they're competitive every year. They're exciting, blah, blah, blah. The Warriors, I think, did the opposite of what everyone watched the Niners do through the Walsh years, which was Bill Walsh got rid of players a year before they started to decline. And everyone got mad, but it allowed for the team to build and stay great for 20 years or more. What the Warriors have done is they've hoped that these players that they had that were fantastic, that were magnificent. I'm 56. I started going to games 73, so I saw a lot of bad basketball, and this has been magical for me as a fan. But the fact of the matter is, yeah, thanks for the drop. The fact of the matter is that Klay isn't what he used to be. They extended Wiggins knowing that he had issues and hoping that he was going to change, and he has reverted to a worse player than he was when he was in Minnesota, in my opinion, as far as his attention to the game. The guy may have all kinds of issues and challenges, and my heart breaks for him, but this is about basketball and this is about the team, and he got to be harsh about that, and he hasn't been a contributor. The Warriors didn't do much in the way of building their team for quite some time, really, the majority of Bob Myers' tenure after they became a contender, and it wasn't until Dunleavy came in that you saw them actually make really good draft picks. This last draft was the first knock-it-out-of-the-park draft that the Warriors had, and they didn't even have a high pick. So, anyway, that's my gripe, guys. I agree with you, Steiny. This is a tough spot for them to be in, and I don't see a way out.
Thanks for the call, Matt. Appreciate it. I mean, I'm starting to think. Do you think this is plausible? Mike Dunleavy maybe wanted to move off of Draymond last year. Told Joe, let's think about moving off Draymond. Get some flexibility. See what we got this year without him. See what we can be. And Joe's like, maybe Joe, what if Guru's right? Draymond talked him into it, meeting Lacob.
I don't know about Dunleavy, but I think that's a fair question to ask about Myers.
Yeah.
Myers might not have wanted to re-sign Draymond, and Joe Lacob said, we're doing it.
Like, my point is all along, in the last 2 years, the Warriors have had moves that they've made that we just didn't think. Like, would you have? Did they have to extend Wiggins?
I mean, they didn't have to do anything. But
I know, I'm sorry. I don't want to relitigate.
No, but Wiggins, that's what we're going to be doing. There's going to be revisionist history about every choice that's been made since the 2022 NBA Finals.
Yeah.
At the time, the Jordan Poole contract, some might have thought it was premature, wasn't a bad market value. Andrew Wiggins took a pay cut at the time. People were praising, heaping praise upon Golden State for being able to lock up two players that were either in their primes or young and budding and core members of their future. And then what happened? We know what happened. It's everything that they do is going to be based on the results in the win and loss column. That's why we're looking at these last two seasons, or some are defining it as wasted seasons. I think they can only be viewed as wasted seasons if they don't learn from the mistakes that they made. That's the only time you can look at it and say, well, they didn't do much there. I mean, God, they didn't learn anything.
And see, this is, you know, this is interesting. Wiggins was a great deal. Oh, really? Oh, Wiggins was a great deal. Okay. Okay. How's that working out for Kuminga? How's the Wiggins deal working out for Jonathan Kuminga? Y'all are pissed off that Jonathan Kuminga doesn't play more. Well, he would if Wiggins wouldn't have been here. If they don't extend Wiggins, now they got to, like, they extended Wiggins, and now they found out a year and a half later that Wiggins can't play with their young player, Jonathan Kuminga. That now they need to split them up. I mean, what I'm saying is that this the history's littered with stuff that you can second guess now, and they've got another two or three decisions now where they could pivot or they could continue going down a road. And at what point do you say it's time to pivot? I don't know. 888-957-9570 is the number. Ricky Williams is coming up at noon. We're going to switch it up to some football. He's a Heisman Award winner, obviously in the College Football Hall of Fame. He's the number 5 overall selection in the 1999 draft. We're going to have some fun with the NFL draft coming up starting on Thursday. 49ers, first time they've had a first-round pick since Trey Lance. 3 years ago. They have number 31. That's the pick the 49ers have. But on the other side, we'll take more of your Warriors calls, and then we'll talk to Ricky Williams. What's coming up next on The Game is presented by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joe Lacob, wake up, man. He's too old.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
We're talking about our guy.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson today. Guru taking care of a family matter.
Love you, Gu.
Coming up in a half hour, Ricky Williams, former Heisman Trophy winner, former New Orleans Saint, Miami Dolphin, and... We're getting him on at noon with the NFL draft coming up on Thursday. 49ers with the number 31 pick.
You think anybody would trade, well, number one, with the Saints traded to get Ricky Williams in general, but something that was such a heavy cost for a running back. Like, running backs aren't even...
Oh, God. Not now.
Running backs aren't even taken in the first round. Nevertheless, traded up for.
Yeah, so we'll talk to Ricky Williams at noon. Here's the other thing I was thinking.
John Robinson was a top 10 pick last year. Jahmyr Gibbs, wasn't he top 15?
Yeah, me.
Texas, Georgia.
Yeah. There you go.
Saquon.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out Penn State, your boy James.
We are.
Franklin.
You know,
I think a big season's coming for the Nittany Lions, Steiny.
They stink. They're one of the worst coaches in college football.
Well, they don't stink, but they just haven't won a title.
They just aren't very good.
Least creative offensive coach in football.
Just tote the rock.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking. Yeah, you know, we think about... And I don't want to just start out this way, but...
No, you should.
Okay, where the Warriors are right now. Did anybody think of this for a sec? Right, they won a title in 2022. Okay, and they made some moves that nobody really thinks much about, except me. No, other people. What? Does everybody just out there think it's fine and dandy that the two guys you have on the team that are signed through 2027 are the two guys that most people want to move to look to move more than anybody else? I mean, people want to get off Wiggins. They signed him through 2027. People are now saying Draymond messed up the last 2 years. Well, he signed through 2027. Like, those were two moves that were made. Oh, yeah, you like him now? How do you like him? They were made, like, couldn't you say those moves were made because that's what Steph wanted?
I don't know if it's what Steph wanted, but I think that's naturally what happens.
Just to keep it, you know, keep it all together.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's what happens when you win. Players get paid more than they should be, or just receive contracts. I mean, the amount of guys that LeBron James has gotten paid is ridiculous. So, like, this just naturally happens. But it's interesting because before the break, we were talking about Poole and Wiggins specifically. They got signed on the same day,
right.
And I saw something in the YouTube chat powered by First NorCal Credit Union about how Poole was the bad deal. Well, in a way, you could say Poole was the better deal than Wiggins because a year after,
exactly.
No one wanted Andrew Wiggins. At least one team wanted Jordan Poole. And what we've seen from Jordan Poole in his singular season in Washington is that he's far overpaid. He's not a great basketball player. And the fact you could acquire an expiring contract and get a player that at least helped you this season, that's a swing and a double to the gap or a triple in the alley by Mike Dunleavy Jr. Now this summer, you're right, everyone does. I don't particularly have any interest in seeing Wiggins on the team next year. I don't know how they're going to trade him.
Right.
I mean, there's a reason they might have not even moved him at the deadline is because they had player-for-player deals out there. They could have made a move, specifically with Dallas, I think was the hot one. They could have got off him at the deadline. They chose not to because there was nothing out there. And now it's to the point where you might have to attach something to get off of him.
Exactly. Jam's in Oakland. What's up, Jam? How you doing, man? What do you got for us, buddy? Jam on his keyboard.
Peanut butter and jam.
Let's go to Matt in Oakland. What's up, Matt? How you doing, man?
What's up, Steiny?
Hey.
Those games were great last night. And looking at the Nuggets and comparing them to the Warriors,
ooh.
I mean, is there anybody that you would trade on the starting lineup? I kind of don't think so. Everybody they have is taller and younger. Obviously, Jokic is the best player in the world. I mean, I guess Curry's still better than Murray. But my point is that, I mean, that's the gold standard, right?
Right.
That's what they're shooting for. And they are, sorry, Joe.
Oh,
lost him. Oh,
you're back. We lost you for a sec, Matt. You said, sorry, Joe, and then we lost you.
Oh, they're light years from where the Nuggets are at.
Right.
Literally, light years. I mean, there's no KD, there's no Giannis, there's nothing that's going to get in there. So, I just feel that unless you want to go back to the days of Jason Caffey and, you know, Witherspoon and that hideous era, They really need to think about moving everybody, and that includes Curry. I like Kuminga, but he doesn't really have any basketball instincts. He's still only 21. He could become an all-star, but that's at 2 years at a minimum out. Curry will be gone. I just think cutting bait is the way to go. I don't think there's any chance at all there's going to field a serious contender next year. And if they're going to do this, I mean, there's that Russian saying, you can't jump off the cliff twice. So maybe it's not Russian. I don't know. I just feel they need to do that. They need to move off of everybody and start over. They have no chance of being that kind of team again. I mean, obviously, if Curry wants to stay, he's earned it.
No doubt. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate the call.
Who's he running away from?
He's on the lam.
They pulled over for that.
650, I'm all for on the Xfinity Mobile text line. I'm all for keeping the Warriors the way they are and adding through the draft. The reason is they were very close to being a playoff team, and they dramatically improved in the second half of the season. That tells me their young players are improving. I am not necessarily against that. The problem is they don't have a pick this year. And I get it. It's only one player.
And you're right. Yeah, it is technically top four protected. And it's like 0.3% chance or whatever.
Is that what it is?
Or 3%. Yeah, I mean, but... And that'd be awesome. But, like, I think that next season just has to be about empowering their younger core. It has to be. Because I just don't see the big three or whoever's on the team that was a focal point of their 2022 championship to now three seasons after being ones to carry them back to the promised land.
I'm with you. Now, the one thing I just thought of, would this be possible?
3.8%. Thank you, Brandon Ayu.
Because the one thing that I think is going to be a challenge just from a basketball perspective is if you re-sign Clay, you still have the core, and they're still the most important players on the team. Having said that about empowering the young players, could you possibly re-sign Clay and you just tell Draymond and Clay, you guys are coming off the bench next year. You're coming off the bench next year. You're coming off the bench.
Clay, yes. Dre, no.
Well, that's the part, Evan, where I'm with you empowering the young players. But, like, how can you empower young players if Draymond Green is still on the team, let alone just even a little bit of a back seat coming off the bench?
Okay, so I guess this is how I'd put it. They have right now not a bevy of great wings, but they have a lot, right? You have, or forwards, I should say. You have, I kind of consider Klay Thompson more of a three, like a small forward. So Klay Thompson, okay. Draymond Green, Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, and Andrew Wiggins. So the five guys. I think the decision is this offseason between Klay, Wiggins, and Draymond, you got to choose two of them. Like one has to go in order, if you do want to empower the younger players, and I think specifically the 2021 draft class, Kuminga and Moody, if you want to have them put themselves in the best possible position to grow and develop, you're going to have to move off of one of those three guys, Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green. You got to make a choice. Klay is obviously the most obvious one because you don't have to involve him in a trade, but a lot of people would rather see Wiggins go, or maybe even Draymond. I think Draymond's the least likely of the three to be moved. But if you do want to empower your younger players, and I think they should, you're going to have to make a hard choice between those three guys.
And there's something about moving off of just one of the big three that I'm not crazy about.
Yeah, smaller
it's like
three.
You're dipping your toe into the water of change, but you don't want to jump all the way in. I'm not saying I want all three, but like, I just wrote something down that would make me, like, that I would like this better than the alternative. Okay, here's what I don't want. Re-sign Klay Thompson, and next year you're starting Curry. Klay, Draymond, Wiggins, and Trayce Jackson-Davis. And Kuminga's coming off the bench or starting. Like, I would rather just commit, even with a re-signed Klay. We're starting Curry at one. Moses, you're starting at two. Moses Moody, you're at two. You're going to start at two. Or if Pajemski beats you out at two, he'll play one and maybe Curry can play two. Or that's our three-guard rotation. Wiggins, Kuminga, too bad. They got to play together. They have to.
Okay.
We can't get rid of any of them. One's too young, and the other one nobody wants. So you have Curry, Moody, Wiggins, Kuminga, Trayce Jackson-Davis at center. Klay Thompson, if he's on the team, comes off the bench, and Draymond Green comes off the bench. He just comes off the bench. That way they don't have to that way the veterans don't just dictate everything and they just play whenever they're ready to play. I mean, I'd rather that than just knowing that those two guys are just going to be in the starting five. And
Curry and Draymond? Or
Klay and Draymond.
Klay and Draymond.
Like, I think if Klay and Draymond are on the team, Steve's going to play him. He's going to start him.
You don't think that Klay Thompson would come back and start the season coming off the bench?
I don't know.
I feel like that has to be a part of the negotiations, is what his role is going
to
be.
Well, then I think then that would be a way for the Warriors to want that number to be at 15-ish, and maybe he's not ready to do that yet. Like, I do think if somebody says you can be our starting two, he'll leave, wouldn't he?
Well, not if it's going to be for a bottom-feeding team. I mean, you look at take a look at Denver. I don't know. Like, Klay's not starting for that team.
No.
I don't know how many playoff teams, or maybe not playoff teams, but legitimate title contending teams. If Klay Thompson really does want to win a fifth title, he wants to win one for the thumb, like he said.
Right.
How many teams is he realistically starting on right now? Boston? No. Denver? No. OKC? No.
No, he's just not a fit there.
Minnesota? No.
Well, I mean, the team would be like the Orlando Magic, who they won 48 games. They think they're better than they are. Or what about Philly?
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather have Klay starting than Anthony Black, but that's also where the Orlando Magic are.
I hear you. JL's in the town. What's up, JL? How you doing,
fellas,
man?
Fellas, man. Yeah. Love to be on the show, man, talking with you.
Sure.
Okay, I got a couple of things I want to say, man. I do not want to see Chris Paul go, but I understand the money situation. As for Draymond, I understand that contracts are ran different. In the NBA, can Draymond be put on a contract such as they do in the NFL? If you do this, you do not receive this. If you do too much of this, you will not receive that. That's what I'm curious about. That's the kind of contract Draymond needs to be on. If he wants to mess up, take money from him. I don't want to see him go because he is the general on that floor. He runs everything.
I got to believe, and thanks for the call. Look, the Warriors voided Latrell Sprewell's contract when he choked P.J. Carlissimo. The issue the Warriors have is they can't. Yeah, the next time he does something, they could probably penalize him, suspend him. Do they want to void the contract? You know, it'd be gutsy. It'd be gutsy. I mean, he's got to do something. They can't just do it now. But I would have thought that when he signed the four-year contract, he would have had to make a deal with Joe Lacob that he was going to be on his best behavior, and he wasn't. So, you know, that's like, there's to me a lot of things we don't know. I mean, it's within the realm of possibility that Joe Lacob could be done with Draymond Green. He might be. Now, I know every story's about how they need Draymond, but we don't know what kind of handshake agreement they had. If Joe Lacob feels betrayed, he feels betrayed. I don't know that he does or doesn't, but I can't imagine he's ecstatic about Draymond Green right now.
Probably not, but I also think the tone for the team would be a lot different if they were actually pissed. I mean, Steve Kerr went from saying what he did in Orlando was unforgivable to I was okay with it, like 2 months later.
And I believe the Warriors right now are doing what any smart team would do, and that's say, we want Klay back. We can't envision Draymond not being here. You know, Wiggins really got it going the second half. But I really think that they're open to anything.
They have to be.
Right.
Like, you have to be open to anything. Meanwhile, the Niners are a team that is trying to just fill a couple holes here and there because they probably feel like, not a Steph Curry away, but, you know, they probably feel like they're a piece away from winning the Super Bowl.
How do you look at the NFL draft? Like, it's the first draft that the Niners have had a first round pick, but it's not till 31.
Mm-hmm.
What's your excitement level
for the draft?
Yeah, no, for the Niners draft.
Well, the Niners are an interesting team because, like, in a way, the draft is exciting. I think because you're going to get new players in. Ideally, you're going to have some top tier talent. Like, for example, last year there wasn't much excitement around it because I don't think they even had a second round pick. So they didn't take a guy until I think it was Jair Brown in the third round. That was their first pick, and he played some this year. But the Niners are so top-heavy, Steiny, that I think the draft is hard to get pumped about because there might be one player or two players that's going to realistically come in and challenge for a starting spot. And odds are, whatever position they take, is probably not going to be expected to be a day one starter. So unlike, probably 25 or 20 teams in the NFL, the Niners are looking at their roster and saying, this first round pick we can not get cute with, but we don't have to take a position of need. We can just take the best player possible. I think it's very realistic that the Niners take a defensive lineman in the first round because even though they have a lot of great talent there, they have their most money invested on the D-line, maybe they're looking for a replacement for Arik Armstead. You know, maybe they're looking for some more depth because, you know, a particular player's not going to be around for forever. I mean, they can look more ahead with their first-round pick than other teams can, and I think that's why it might be difficult to say, oh my God, I can't wait to see who they're going to get at 31.
Here's what John Lynch said about the pick they have and how flexible they are or aren't.
I think 31 is an interesting spot. I think at the end of day one, teams are eager to go get someone. So I would imagine there'll be some calls and we'll be open and flexible. We've done it both ways in a variety of ways and been successful doing some. And the big thing is just be prepared for every scenario. You know, I think you have to be flexible. Human nature is to underestimate the uncertainty of a draft. And I think we try to account for that and the only way you do that is being prepared for everything.
So he thinks that they may get some calls at the end of that first round, and if something makes sense, they'll do it. He also said they could possibly move up. Take a listen.
We're not at 32 this year. We're slightly more than the last couple of years. I mean, so that's a good thing. But, you know, I think that just speaks more to we have a high standard that we don't change, blow with the wind to try to put first round grades. But still, you know, when we like players, you know, we draft them. And I think we don't get beholden to, well, the league sees them here, you know. So 22 is kind of where we're at, 22 first round grades. We do have a high standard there that is up from the last couple of years. And so I think that's a good thing.
So he's talking about how many guys they have graded as first round picks. 22.
That means you're probably not going to get one of those guys. And so maybe you do take the Belichickian approach, which is to just trade back into the second round, acquire some future capital, and give yourself more throws at the dartboard. I mean, that's also an option too. And I wouldn't be shocked if they traded back. I would be surprised if they traded up.
Yeah, more John Lynch. This is what he talked about in terms of the linemen and the versatility. This is kind of interesting.
I think it's good tackles, it's good linemen, and I the interesting thing with those linemen in this draft, we think a lot of them have flexibility to be tackles and or guards, and so that's nice that you take somebody with some versatility, you know, I think. So that's, I think there are some options.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, when you look at what they're going to do with that first round pick, or with a couple of their picks, they don't have to draft for need. They can draft, I think they're going to draft for depth. Finding a guy on the line that can play inside and outside is not uncommon, but with the Niners, I mean, you have more bodies to put out there, and maybe they decided in the second season Spencer Burford's not someone they want to be reliant upon, or Aaron Banks is someone that's coming up and they're going to have to extend him or not. Is this someone that could fill in at the guard position? You know, on the right side, is Colton McKivitz your long-term solution? They gave him a one-year deal to re-up. Is he going to be gone next year? You know, I just think the Niners are in a position where they can draft, yes, for someone that can help them now, but it's more about, this draft is more about their future than their present, in my opinion.
And to me, this year's draft is more about Brandon Ayuk than the player they select. Not to say the player they select won't be a factor, but the first shoe could possibly drop on Brandon Ayuk on Thursday during the draft. We'll find out a little more if something happens Thursday. It does, but the 49ers obviously have that decision to make. And let me just ask you this before we play some of this sound later on in the show.
And of course, we got Ricky Williams coming up in 5 minutes.
Absolutely. Former Heisman Trophy winner, Ricky Williams. What was the sense you got from John Lynch yesterday in terms of how he talked about Brandon Ayuk? You know, when Clay Thompson talked at the end of the season, people noted, boy, he didn't sound like the Warrior for Life guy. Did John Lynch sound concerned or not concerned about Brandon Ayuk's future as far as you're concerned?
I don't think he sounded concerned to me, but it didn't sound like they were close. I mean, I think this is something that's going to extend into the summer, which is also why I don't think he gets moved before draft night. If you were going to trade him, it probably would be before the draft or on draft night to replace him with a first round or whatever draft compensation you receive in that trade. But I don't think Brandon Ayuk is going anywhere. And so in a way, I think John Lynch is basically just setting up the fact that our focus is on the draft. And then after that, our number one priority is to make sure that Brandon Ayuk is under lock and key. And the number that they come to is going to be interesting to me because I think Ayuk actually has a lot more ammunition than people are giving him credit for.
Who'll get more per year, Ayuk or Clay Thompson?
It's a good question.
Yeah.
I think it'll be about the same, actually.
I think it's going to be similar. Hey, a reminder, you can catch all 4 hours of Steiny and Goo on the free Odyssey app. You can now download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal First Class Money Market today. Coming up on the other side, we got Ricky Williams, former Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Fame, former number 5 overall selection in the 1999 draft. Ricky Williams on the other side on 95.7 The Game.
Steiny, you're more like me than you think you are.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.